What's up, everybody? This is Andrew Erickson here from the Full Press Coverage Fantasy Football Podcast. I am coming at you live here from the NFL. I didn't decide to go in the locker room this week, so I'm going to be covering 32 teams in 32 days, so this is kind of following along with my segment here. But today I'm going to go over three different teams because I've been slacking a little bit this past weekend. So we've got the Carolina Panthers, the Chicago Bears, and the Cincinnati Bengals. So I've done some game recaps. I've done some, you know, watched those preseason games, so I got a little bit of that. But just giving you guys a general overview, fantasy outlook on these three teams. And we'll also be having a Cleveland Browns episode a little bit later as well coming along this week. So hopefully you guys can start your week off well. If you're listening to this on a Monday, happy Monday. Get it going. And we will kind of get started in here. So going on to the Carolina Panthers. So you got Cam Newton here, and Cam Newton is actually my quarterback one in fantasy football rankings. My reason being is with Cam Newton, the biggest thing that I think is with him is he's never had the amount of weapons that he has this year. You got to look, you know, they drafted DJ Moore in the first round. He's getting Greg Olsen back. He's got Christian McCaffrey in year two, Devin Funchess, CJ Anderson. So he's just loaded with a lot of talent, and last year we saw, you know, he was so derived of talent. You know, everyone seems to be getting hurt. So I do like Cam Newton, especially with his rushing ability. We've already seen him be the QB1 before, so I do think that Cam Newton has the opportunity as one of those guys that could possibly take over instead of, you know, Aaron Rodgers, who everybody usually has in as their number one quarterback. So I do think Cam Newton is a dark horse to kind of finish as that QB1 overall, and that's kind of why I like him. So other things, you know, to mention about the Carolina Panthers in regards to that preseason game they played against the Buffalo Bills earlier. You know, there was some beef going on between Cam Newton and Kelvin Benjamin, but I won't get into it. You know, who's the bigger man here? I don't know. It's just like when you meet an internet troll in real life. When Cam Newton comes up to Kelvin Benjamin, like, hey, man, you're talking smack? And Kelvin Benjamin didn't want any of that. But, you know, Christian McCaffrey got the start, so that was really good to see for those McCaffrey owners out there. And we saw him get, you know, working three downs. He didn't come off the field on third down. Obviously, he's a third down back for sure, at least, you know, in the passing game. But we saw him at the goal line get goal line carries. We didn't see CJ Anderson come in until later in the game. So you do like to see that from Christian McCaffrey as that three down back. On the defensive side, Kevin Seymour from the Carolina defensive backs got burned really badly by Kelvin Benjamin, which isn't saying a lot about his potential as a cornerback, because if you're getting burned by Kelvin Benjamin, who's a guy who doesn't run necessarily super fast, that is problematic for your secondary. So that is a little bit worrisome there from the Carolina defensive standpoint. DJ Moore making a lot of great plays, especially after the catch. He did only receive one target from Cam Newton, but overall a lot of good things from DJ Moore. He adjusted on a deep ball from Cam Newton. If you guys check my Twitter, @AndrewErickson_, I actually tweeted out a video of that catch that DJ Moore had, where he basically had to come back and adjust to the ball. And the biggest thing that I found from that play as well is you can see Cam Newton just super excited when DJ Moore caught that pass. So Cam's excited about DJ Moore. You as a football fan should be excited about DJ Moore. Who I tell you not to be excited about is Devin Funchess. Devin Funchess, I'm kind of totally fading out of on the Carolina offense. We saw his targets go up when Kelvin Benjamin left and when Greg Olsen left. But when Greg Olsen came back, Devin Funchess' targets went down. Touchdowns went down. Everything across the board went down. And realistically, Devin Funchess has a tight end type of body. So with Greg Olsen more in the mix, that kind of takes over that role. Greg Olsen's another player I'm not super interested in it either. He's going pretty higher in drafts in terms of his ADP. But I do like the fact, or I don't like actually, you know, with Greg Olsen, is that he mulled retirement this season, or this offseason. So, you know, when you say you're kind of checked out, it's really hard to like, oh, I'm going to come back right in and, you know, do everything the same way it was. So that is a little concerning about Greg Olsen. So I prefer other tight ends over the other top tier tight ends instead of Greg Olsen. He's not someone I'm particularly targeting. I'd rather have, obviously, Gronk or Kelce a little bit earlier. Or rather have a guy later like Kyle Rudolph for sure. He's one of the guys I really like this year. So Greg Olsen, I'm kind of fading off a little bit because of that reason and because there is additional weapons in the offense. But the big thing is with Christian McCaffrey, you know, this, you know, the way they use him, it's only one game, but still it's very comforting to see, you know, him on the field constantly with the starters. And North Turner is traditionally used a one running back, and that's kind of what we're going to be seeing from McCaffrey. I think Anderson may be just in a role-playing role where he just can do everything as well as McCaffrey, but he's going to be as the backup, not necessarily going to be, you know, rotating throughout the season. other things about Carolina. So the Panthers defense, so they are going to be facing a lot of tough offenses this season. In 2018, it's no surprise they play in the NFC South, which is a very high-powered offense. But their offensive schedule is also very good. So I do expect the Panthers to put up a lot of points this season and expect their defense to also give up a lot of points this season. So what does that bode well to? A lot of shootouts, a lot of high-scoring games, so a lot of fantasy production. So I don't think you can go wrong with going from a Carolina, getting a Carolina player in your fantasy football team. I definitely recommend that you do that. Because I do think they're going to be an offense that's going to put up points. Cam is a quarterback you can definitely, he's a, when you're going to have to draft a little bit earlier, but not as high as some of these other guys that may not offer really as much upside with his rushing ability. Other things that we've kind of seen as well, back when looking back at 2017, most of the successful plays that the Panthers ran actually were from Christian McCaffrey himself. So, running the offense through him is realistically a pretty smart idea. In terms of as long as he can just kind of hold up, his body can hold up, it makes sense to keep running the ball through Christian McCaffrey, getting the ball to him because he leads to successful plays. The other thing here as well, the Panthers need to throw the ball more on first down. This is kind of looking at Warren Sharp's 2018 football preview, which is where we're going to get a lot of information from. It's a really great read from Warren Sharp. And essentially, you have a guy like C.J. Anderson who comes in here, and he's actually only averaged 3.4 yards per carry on first down. So not a lot. So it really makes more sense for the Panthers to throw the ball more on first downs. And who's that probably going to result in going to is Christian McCaffrey. So a lot of volume, I think, for McCaffrey in this season. Volume is the hardest thing to predict. But in terms of his, if he's going to be just catching receptions, that's, a reception is much more valuable than a rushing attempt. So I almost rather have McCaffrey catching receptions. You get less wear and tear on your body. You get those PPR points, and you get more yards after the catch. And you get more yards in general from a rushing attempt where you're not in space. So I'm buying into Christian McCaffrey this season. I was on the fence a little bit, but I do think that if he does hold up, I think that he can definitely be a really productive RB1. You're getting him as an RB2. So I do like his upside for sure, especially where he's going in the drafts. Other things about the Panthers that just are worth mentioning, you have a team that needs to get to a lead. The Panthers are 10-0 this last season when they were winning by halftime. So that strategy means, okay, they need to come out firing, which is McCaffrey, and then I could see them having Anderson as kind of that guy to clean up, at the ends of games. But I think it will be where McCaffrey has already gotten you enough points that you don't necessarily need him to be there to run out the clock at the end of the game. I do think that's where C.J. Anderson will have value, and which is why I also think that he is a valuable asset as well in fantasy drafts as a guy that if the Panthers do get up and are up in the second half, that he'll get work in as that running back to really mull out some carries, especially in the fourth quarter when they can let McCaffrey rest a little bit more. So that does wrap it up for the Panthers side of the football. I will now transition now onto another fierce animal. We're actually all doing animals today, is the Chicago Bears. And so Bears obviously have a new head coach, Matt Nagy, who's taking over for the one and only John Fox, hashtag upgrade. The Bears, the narrative around the Bears this offseason is that, hey, they're going to be the Rams of 2018. And realistically, it's not a bad take. It makes a lot of sense. There's a lot of similarities. You're going from an old, boring coach in Jeff Fisher to Matt Nagy, that type of similarity right there. And what I saw from the preseason game was, they did try to involve Kevin White early on. I don't know if this is going to be anything from Kevin White that we're going to see. It may be some trade bait, highlighting him. Maybe someone will offer a trade. There are some wide receiver needy teams, Dallas Cowboys. So, perhaps they're trying to, draw up some interest for Kevin White. That's usually what we see, especially with design plays. The first play of the game goes right to Kevin White. Like, that was probably planned out that way by the quarterback and the coach. Or the general manager, so I'm not buying too much into that. But we did see a lot, Trubisky again, he has rushing upside. So that's something that you don't want to forget. Trubisky, he's kind of reminded me a little bit more of Blake Bortles and where he has that, you don't see him as an athletic specimen, but you can actually see that he does actually have that running upside that Blake Bortles has actually done really well, especially as a fantasy producer. I do like Mitchell Trubisky as a quarterback too, that you see improvement. The jump from year one to year two is actually, not as much as a sophomore slump as a sophomore jump, as the way that Warren Sharp kind of called it in his read So just looking at his, some information he presented to the readers, basically, you have from 2012 to 2016, you had 8 quarterbacks drafted in the top 15. And essentially all of them improved in their second season, across the board in completion percentage and yards per attempt and touchdown to interception ratio, except one RG3. And we all kind of know why, what happened with him. He got hurt, and he also had a spectacular rookie season. So it was a little bit, it was tougher for him to really, improve. So could that be Deshaun Watson this year? I don't know. But we'll get there when we go to the Texans episode. But you have a projection of efficiency going up. You have the upgrade in weapons. You have Allen Robinson. You have Anthony Miller. You have Trey Burton. You already have Jordan Howard, and you already have Tariq Cohen. So a lot of upgrades across the board. This offense cannot be nearly as boring and as generic as it was last year, where they knew they were going to run the ball. And despite having a really tough run schedule, and despite every team knowing exactly what they were going to be doing, Jordan Howard still finishes as a top 10 running back. So that's why I love Jordan Howard this season. Everyone is just going with the narrative that he can't catch passes, he's not very good, But the thing with Jordan Howard is he's already rushed for 1,000 yards back-to-back seasons. You already know he's already good. Like, you know what kind of running back he is. He's an in between the tackles kind of runner. But he has explosives. He has explosiveness. He can do a lot of different things. He's working on his pass-catching ability. Like, he just has to be inept of catching passes. I'm not saying he has to be Tariq Cohen and catch passes that way. But if you look at a guy like someone that struggled very early on in their careers as a pass catcher, was never really seen as a pass catcher, was Adrian Peterson. And I'm pretty sure he gets going to the Hall of Fame. So I don't think you should be shying off from Jordan Howard. I would say buy him, if cheaply in dynasty leagues, if you can get him. But, taking him in the third round, he has RB1. He is going as an RB1, but he could be, a top five running back. He doesn't necessarily need the pass catching work. He's going to get the touchdown work or the goal line work. He's going to get a ton of rushing attempts. So I do really like that type of outlook for Jordan Howard there. And then in terms of the tight end position, the Bears obviously brought in Trey Burton, who they gave a decent amount of money to. And I do expect them to run a lot more two tight end sets. So Trey Burton along with Adam Shaheen. The reason that being is Trubisky had a lot of success with two tight end sets last year in the 12 personnel. The Nagy offense runs that about 29% of the time, what we saw from Kansas City when Nagy took over for Andy Reid in terms of offensive play calling. Where he was actually doing then 11 personnel 63% of the time, which is when you have one running back, one tight end, and three wide receivers. So in the three wide receiver sets, you can probably assume that it's going to be Allen Robinson and Taylor Gabriel on the outside with Anthony Miller in the slot. Anthony Miller in the slot they traded up for in the NFL draft, getting a pick next year as well to get this guy. And you want to keep in mind that Mitchell Trubisky has very often targeted the middle of the field. That's actually where he's been the most successful, where is in the middle of the field. So where slot receivers go and where the tight end goes. You can make the argument that, okay, he never really had an outside receiver in Chicago, which is true. So that's why we haven't really seen it from Allen Robinson. So there are a lot of question marks around Allen Robinson, which is why I'm not super hyped up for him. I think that he's a fine player. He's obviously coming off a major injury. We haven't seen him really with Mitch Trubisky, and he's been relatively quiet throughout training camp. Not much buzz has been generating around him, which isn't bad, but isn't necessarily good as well. You'd like to know that he is, getting reps with the first team, and he's all healthy. So a little some mystery surrounding Allen Robinson, which is why I'm not crazy about drafting him. Like, if he falls to me at a good value, I'll definitely take him, but I'm not necessarily being like, oh, I need to get Allen Robinson in all my leagues. A guy that he may end up being his number one target could be Anthony Miller. We've seen it the last two seasons, where his last season with the Bears, it was Kendall Wright who heavily was in the slot where Mitchell Trubisky targeted him a lot. And then in college, Ryan Switzer at North Carolina was his favorite target, who also is a slot receiver. So a lot of slot potential in the middle of the field for Anthony Miller. And then for Trey Burton as well is that move tight end in the Matt Nagy offense. That's the other thing as well, with the Kansas City Chiefs, you saw Tyreek Hill, so that could be Tariq Cohen. You saw Trey Burton, that could be Travis Kelce. You see these, but the outside receiver in the Chiefs, they didn't really have one. They had one when Macklin was there, but he didn't really mesh well exactly, and that's why they didn't keep him. So I'm not really sure exactly what to expect out of the X receiver role in the Matt Nagy offense, because it wasn't really one like that in the Kansas City offense. It was mostly the tight end. The slot receiver, who could be Tariq Cohen at this point, or Anthony Miller, and the running back position, so Jordan Howard. So a lot of dynamics, so a lot of different skill-making players, but overall the offense will be more efficient in 2018, which is why I like Mitchell Trubisky, especially with his running upside. The Bears are ready for a liftoff in 2018, so that's why I do like a lot of their players, and I strongly suggest grabbing at least one of their players, Anthony Miller late, or Jordan Howard, or the running backs, and Tariq Cohen as well. Tariq Cohen's going a little bit high because people are kind of onto him, so I do like Jordan Howard a little bit more at his value. I was actually more on the Tariq Cohen side, ironically, but I've kind of shifted over to more Jordan Howard. But that is kind of what I wanted to see there. And the last thing here, guys, shotgun. They are going to run more shotgun plays with Mitch Trubisky. Mitch Trubisky ran like almost all of his plays from shotgun last year in college. And last year they ran a lot of stuff under center, where Mitchell Trubisky was basically, it was really obvious for the defenses to know. If it was under center, it was a run play. If it was shotgun, it was a pass play. But in shotgun, Jordan Howard last season averaged 6.4 yards per carry in shotgun. Run more shotgun. Matt Nagy, please, please. Thank God we don't have any old dinosaurs running the team anymore, so they actually look into some of this analytics stuff and actually, you know, take this advice that guys like Warren Sharp are offering and utilize it, and for us fantasy owners to take advantage of it. So, running out of shotgun, that's a win for Jordan Howard and the hashtag Bears. The last thing here, guys, we will work on going to the Cincinnati Bengals. AJ Green, Andy Dalton, John Ross, you know, a lot of different guys here. So looking over what happened in the preseason game, so obviously a big play from Joe Mixon is what we saw. He lined out wide at the wide receiver position, and he caught a pass from Dalton. Ended up breaking a tackle and scoring a touchdown. So you do like to see that he's, you know, they're using him, they're moving him around, they're being, you know, creative with their offensive schemes, and they're going to get Mixon the ball. I definitely like that they used Mixon in that manner. So that's the reason why I actually have Mixon a lot higher than most owners, most analysts. I do think Mixon has more upside than a guy like Jerick McKinnon, for example. I think Mixon is just a better player than McKinnon is. I put Mixon right kind of in that Christian McCaffrey area. But I think that the Bengals offense is just bound to improve, bound to bounce back. The reasons being they were so inefficient last year. They had struggles at offensive line. They just were kind of a mess all over the place. They couldn't pass the ball down the field. They didn't have any other receivers that could complement AJ Green, kind of leaving him out in the, you know, deserted. And he wasn't able to do everything. He needs help. AJ Green's most productive season came with Marvin Jones and Mohamed Sanu as complementary receivers to him. But now we're kind of seeing a little bit more from John Ross, from Josh Malone, from Tyler Boyd, who I expect to be the starting slot receiver, and even my boy Alex Erickson, who I share initials with. I'm always cheering for Alex Erickson. I see him on the field, thinking about getting his jersey. Still not sure, but if he got into the slot, I would be, you know, Alex Erickson's number one fan. But, you know, they did release Brandon LaFell, who led the team in snaps last year at the wide receiver position. So he apparently had requested to be released, so maybe that doesn't necessarily mean that they're hopeful that John Ross or Josh Malone or Tyler Boyd is going to take snaps, but in Brandon LaFell's mind, could be like, oh man, like I'm going to lose a ton of work to these guys because they're just going to get more playing time than me, so I want out of here. So John Ross, if he can be on the outside, he can be productive. That's going to help AJ Green so much. Keep this in mind. AJ Green finished as a wide receiver 7 last year. That's his floor. The Bengals offense was super inefficient last year, and he still finished as wide receiver 7. He is locked in at least as a top 8 wide receiver, and I think has really easy wide receiver 5 upside, which he's not going as. So AJ Green in the second round, back end of the second round, is a lock in. People don't see him as a sexy pick, even though he's just been like more consistent than a lot of other players, besides that one year he got hurt at the end of the year. So that is why I'm a big AJ Green guy. I think that he's a solid play. I don't think you need to worry about him. He has big weeks, you know, every once in a while. So I do like him in this offense, especially for next season, for this season, excuse me. Back to the preseason game. Dalton did throw an interception, pick 6, because John Ross fell down. So that's a no bueno on John Ross's part. John Ross did make it up, though. He had a couple nice plays later in the game. Tyler Boyd was on the end of a touchdown reception from Andy Dalton. And overall, they look much more capable than they did a year ago. I don't think that their receiving corps is nearly as bad. I think that they're all kind of crying. They have a pretty young receiving corps, so besides outside of AJ Green. So I think that they're kind of starting to develop a little bit more, you know, besides AJ Green. They've made upgrades at the offensive line position, center Billy Price, tackle Cordy Glenn, who they received in a trade from Buffalo. So I like the overall, you know, the different changes they've made on the Cincinnati side. The other thing as well, Marvin Lewis is more known as a coach that likes to run the football. The last 4 years, besides last year, he was ranked top 10 in rushing attempts. They ranked 29th in rushing attempts last year, which is kind of out of the norm for Marvin Lewis. So expect things to turn to the norm. Expect them to run the ball more because they will be more efficient. They were about down in games. Dalton was turning the ball over too much, so they found themselves kind of throwing too much and to not an efficient, you know, rate. So the other thing, so that's good for Mixon, and Giovanni Bernard is really the only thing standing between Mixon and really a full workload. It's interesting because the director of player personnel, Duke Tobin of the Cincinnati Bengals, does view Mixon as a three-down bell cow back. So you could take that, you know, with that how you view it. But their schedule is much easier. They have a very good passing schedule, and their defense is going to be playing a lot of good offenses, which means, once again, similar to the Carolina situation, they're probably going to give up a lot of points, which means they're going to have to score a lot of points. So I do expect them to kind of end up throwing the ball just more efficiently, but then also being able to, you know, have more rushing attempts, establishing the run early on, using play action, using RPOs. So a lot of different things. They're just going to be a more dynamic offense than they were in 2017, where it was very predictable, kind of seeing what they were doing. Basically, the other thing, though, that the one thing that they do really well that Warren Sharp pointed out was running back passes to start off drives. So they essentially had gone up. So that last year they used it 19% of the time. In this season, the past season in 2017, they did it 22% of the time. So passing the ball to the running back on first down, on early downs, they saw 8.1 yards per attempt. So those are very productive plays, and it would make sense for them to keep running those specific plays to Mixon and to Bernard, you know, passes. And you can see, obviously, they're not afraid to get those guys involved in the passing game like we saw in the preseason game, you know, when they flexed out Joe Mixon out wide, which that ranked third best in the league, that 8.1 yards per attempt on running back, on targets to the running back on the early downs. So overall, I like these three teams, their three offenses. I think they're all bound to overall have a bounce back effort. I don't think that the Panthers, Bears, or Bengals are necessarily going to be exactly what they were last year. No team really ever is. The Panthers did make the playoffs, whereas the Bears and Bengals were kind of not as great. In terms of just their overall finishing, the Bears came in last in their division. I believe the Bengals came in third to last, not last because the Browns obviously came in last because they went 0-16. But I do expect the Panthers to kind of work on again. You know, they may not have as many wins as they were last year, but I think that as an offense, they'll be better as a whole. The Bears, for sure, I think are going to definitely upgrade. An interesting stat that I had tweeted out about the running back position is you have a top running back always come from a team that finished last in the division. So you have a running back from a team that finished last always finishes, I believe it was top five in the next season. It's been happened a couple different times. So you can check out my tweets. I'll have to retweet it. But Jordan Howard was one of those guys on the list along with Saquon Barkley. Obviously the Giants came in last season. So I do expect a big turnaround from the Bears offense. And then the same thing with the Bengals offense. So the Bengals offense is a little less unknown. I think people are just kind of off it. You can get Andy Dalton super late in drafts. And I think that he is going to be super – I mean, he's going to have weeks. He's going to have good weeks, especially if John Ross is able to kind of get everything together. He's going to, you know, have make some big plays with A.J. Green opening things up for that entire offense. So that does it for me from today, guys. We talked Panthers, Bears, Bengals. I will be talking about the Browns later on, and then I'll be hitting some more teams this week, and we'll get into the week two of the preseason. So I'm excited. The season's coming, so always tweet at me at AndrewX_ if you have questions about, you know, anything fantasy-related. I'm going to be producing tons of content. Not sure what platforms. I'll probably be all over the place, but it'll be an adventure, and it'll be fun. All right. Thanks, guys. Bye.